Washington is already preparing for a new administration. The Office of Government Ethics is looking to update a 30-year-old ethics program for agencies. While on Capitol Hill, one congressman is reminding department heads about the dangers of burrowing in. And the Supreme Court granted the Justice Department a spot on its calendar next year to hear arguments on presidential appointees. We get more now from Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. And Meredith, it sounds like a lot of behavioral activities are going on with respect to feds.
Yes, everybody is getting ready for the transition next year and trying to get a jump on things if they haven't already.
Now, federal employees that have stopped by here for interviews, sometimes they come in person and I try to give them a Federal News Radio mug and they never take it, they only cost us about a buck because they're actually made in China. Nevertheless, they want to be careful about that kind of thing, so I don't push it. Tell us about the Office of Government Ethics. What are they updating and what are they looking at?
Sure. It's interesting when you mention the mugs, because some of the people that I talked to for this first story, they said, you know, on Capitol Hill, everybody knows, oh, no, can't do this, or, oh, yeah, this is okay, I can take this free water or have this lunch. But federal employees and workers, you know, they're just so entrenched in their work, they don't really know, so they always just go, nope, can't do it.
Well, nothing can come back to bite you that way.
That's true. It's very safe, but then you miss out on a Federal News Radio mug. So in this case, the Office of Government Ethics, which oversees the Executive Branch Ethics Program, all the agencies, what they're doing is proposing a new rule. And on paper, not much has changed in the past 30 years or so. But this rule would update the program to make sure that language matches what is already kind of happening across agencies. This is important because as the next administration comes in, there will be some new faces in offices. A lot of federal workers will stay where they are. But again, this rule is designed to make it very clear where responsibilities lie. I spoke with Kate Belinsky, and she's an attorney who works with public policy practice. And she said, you don't want to change things up too early in a new administration because there's so much turnover, so many things are happening. So this is kind of a good quiet time to do it.
And what is actually in this new rule?
So there's some pretty interesting things. One thing the rule does is modernizes ethics training regulations by distinguishing between verbal and written training and by using live and interactive training. Live training, exactly what it sounds like. A person, whether they're in person or on a recorder or something, they lead a majority of the training and can still respond to questions and offer instructions from people taking the class. Interactive training is more taking action and not just taking in information and regurgitating it back. The employees have to show that they've learned something and then apply it to advance to the next section of the training. There are also some clarifications for the responsibilities of the designated agency ethics officials, or DAOs, and those are the ones who in each agency oversee its ethics program. That includes maintaining records of ethics program activities, providing advice and counseling to prospective and current employees, and taking appropriate action when necessary.
All right, so there's no new rules on dollar amounts and things you can accept and not accept. None of that is part of this.
It's more just like codifying what's already being done, like providing more flexibility for agencies. You know, agencies each are allowed to kind of make decisions for what works for their agency because every agency is different.
Sure.
And this is reminding everybody, hey, you still have to meet certain requirements, but we also recognize that you're unique to everybody else.
So lunch at the Prime Rib is still out.
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
All right, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers and the burrowing in. This is something that happens on some occasions where federal political officials try to become career.
Yes, they try to convert over.
They like it. And it's allowed in some circumstances, frowned on in others.
And not others. Yeah, so Jason Chaffetz, who oversees the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, sent a letter recently to the Office of Personnel Management asking specifically the acting director, Beth Colbert, about the number of political appointees who have been converted to career employees since last September. He's looking for full sets of documents that explain who's been converted, which agencies, what positions, how much the salary, information, everything about the conversion. The concern with burrowing in is that hiring decisions can end up being biased because someone gets converted and skirts some of the red tape usually involved with the federal hiring process. Under current procedure, OPM does review applications for anyone who's held a political position within the last 5 years and also wants to continue as a career appointee.
I guess the reason people are wary of this kind of thing is because they don't want political views to be embedded into the bureaucracy, which is supposed to be neutral with respect to policy.
Yeah, and then you have a whole new administration coming in, and then if that gets embedded, it can make for a mess. So OPM has until next week to respond to that.
So it sounds like Chaffetz's letter is simply saying, hey, we're watching and we don't want this administration or I guess any other to have a bunch of burrows left behind.
A bunch of groundhogs next year.
Interesting. Okay. So, and they have not responded yet, so we don't know the numbers at this point.
Yeah, they have until July 14th to respond.
And you're also writing about Beth Cobert, who has been acting director of OPM, and the question is whether she is really allowed under legal strictures to have that job. And this is going to the Supreme Court. This has to do with the whole issue about pocket
appointments
during recess appointments.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting that, for context, that in 2012, about 1,200 positions out of 4,000 presidentially appointed positions required Senate confirmation. So there are a lot of people who get picked by the president to serve, or nominated by the president at the very least to serve. And so the Supreme Court just granted the Justice Department a writ of certiorari, which means it's putting a particular case on its calendar for the justices to weigh in. In this particular case, it involves, like you said, Beth Cobert, who has been serving as the acting director at OPM since last July when Catherine Archuleta stepped down. So what happened was earlier this year, OPM's inspector general was stepping down and his office looked into how to replace him to make sure they were following all the rules. And they noticed that when it comes to the Federal Vacancies Reform Act, filling federal vacancies, the D.C. Circuit Court had just issued a decision that involved the eligibility of certain presidential nominees and when they can serve, if and when they've already been nominated. So the court basically rejected an argument for the case. It wasn't specific to Beth Cobert, but to nominees in general. And it meant that her eligibility as director basically stopped back in November when she was officially nominated by President Obama to permanently serve. So the Justice Department has been arguing for reconsideration, and it finally made it to the Supreme Court. For someone like Cobert, who will be done in January, it might not matter to her personally, but some of the guidance she's issued or anyone in a case like hers, it could be repealed if it comes to that.
Okay, so if they find that people like her could not have served as she has served, that would nullify, even though it won't affect her anymore, she'll be out of government at that point.
Yeah.
But it could affect what she did administratively while she was serving.
Yes, someone could say, hey, I don't think it's right that she did this policy. I mean, she's led a bunch of different things.
So what has she done that could be nullified?
Yeah, just a handful of things. She implemented onboarding requirements for senior executives, issued guidance on certain interagency personnel rotations, on guidance on recruitment, relocation, and we were joking in the office. She's also, declared certain snow days. So I don't know how they're going to repeal those, but some of the senior executive stuff and personnel guidance, someone could come up and say, hey, this, she wasn't eligible to serve. None of this, all of this is null and void.
Well, she'll be watching with interest, but academically, in other words.
Yes.
All right. Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, thanks so much for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
You can read Meredith's stories online now and share this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.